Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Well, Judy is screening your calls for either Dr. Debbie, who's straight ahead of me, Joey Villani to my left, or even Ladybug, the studio stunt dog, who occasionally answers calls here at Animal Radio. We're going to talk to the hotel that's making all the news in Asheville, North Carolina. Is it North Carolina?
Yes, it is.
They are adopting, they're bringing animals in from a local adoption shelter to be adopted at their hotel. So guests come into the hotel, they see these animals, and they fall in love with them and end up adopting them and taking
them
home. And apparently they've had a tremendous success rate. You heard Tammy Trujillo reporting about this several weeks back. Mm-hmm. What do you got on the docket today, Tammy?
Well, you know, you never should ignore a dog that won't stop barking and trying to tell you something. We've got a story of a guy who nearly did, but the little dog was so persistent that this little teeny tiny dachshund was instrumental in getting his best friend, a 180-pound St. Bernard, rescued. We'll tell you how he did it.
Also, Mike Ritland will be joining us. This guy created, he's a Navy SEAL, or was a Navy SEAL.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw that there was a need for transitions for animals that served in the military when they came back home, just as there are for regular soldiers, you know, and that some animals go through PTSD and the other things.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and then how to get back to civilian life after being in war.
Never thought about that, but they see so much horrible stuff
you would think
so many things.
The sounds of guns and cars fireworks. Backfire. Yeah, fireworks, all kinds of stuff.
Well, he's put together an organization, a nonprofit, to help these animals transition back to regular civilian life. And we're going to be talking to him in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. Judy just handed me this story. This is kind of an ironic, interesting story out of Coconut Creek, Florida, about a police dog. He's being kicked off the force after biting a donut shop worker.
A Dunkin' Donuts
too
worker.
Good. Oh, my God.
Officials say 4-year-old Renzo, he had been with the Coconut Creek Police Department for more than a year. The Belgian Malinois, which they're very smart dogs, bit an officer.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. But apparently bit an officer in November while tracking a suspect. And last week, he burst out of a patrol car and bit a Dunkin' Donuts worker right in the calf. So he's been let go from the police force.
Yeah, if you're a police dog, you don't bite the donut guy.
So are they going to adopt him out to a family that likes donuts? Or, I mean, there's got to be a reason he's doing this.
They can't have donuts in the house.
I guess not.
We need to follow up on this story here. There.
Absolutely.
I don't know. You think about cops and donut shops and to actually see that kind of was fit into the stereotype. Yes, as a dog, as a police dog, you don't want to bite the donut shop people. They're your friends.
Sweet thing. It's not his fault. Never dog's fault.
Robert. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
Doing well. How have you been?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
How can we help you?
I have a tenant that moved out with her cat, luckily.
Uh-huh.
And they peed and whatever all over the house. I had to throw out the carpet. And I painted the subfloor, which is plywood, a couple of times trying to mask it. And I still have that smell.
Oh, gosh, Robert, I feel bad for you. I mean, I appreciate people like you that rent to people with animals, and it is upsetting when something like this happens. It gives all the other pet owners, you know, a bad name.
Oh, yeah.
Here. So, well, obviously, my expertise is with the animals and not so much with construction materials, but I will tell you a couple things that I have learned over the years when it comes to these ingrained urine odors that kind of soak down through the carpet pad and into the floor. And you know, there are honestly times when the subflooring has to be replaced and ripped out. And that's something that I would probably suggest to first have a professional cleaner, construction group. So, you know, kind of like when people have disasters and they have floods or, you know, mass crime scenes, things like that. That's the kind of service that I would have out to evaluate it. Sometimes they can do a deep cleaning and then start fresh.
Carpet's already gone. I had to throw that out.
Understand. But as far as in evaluating the lower structures, because sometimes you will have to replace the subflooring. It can be really difficult. In some cases, I've had clients where we've gotten down to the subflooring. We've treated it with a kind of like an enzyme odor neutralizer, like Nature's Miracle, which I use all the time. There's also one called Zero Odor. And you treat that, and then you seal. And I've had the best luck with it's that one that's called Kills with a Z at the end. As far as sealing, subflooring, and just trying to keep it impermeable to odors in the future. So I don't know if it's a matter of products that you need to look at as far as difference, or, you know, if you really do need to see if the subflooring is kind of beyond help and that has to be replaced. Cause that cat odor, cat urine odor, it is tenacious.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I heard somewhere, and I'm just now trying it as of this weekend, vinegar and baking soda.
Sure. I mean, and I think that that's definitely kind of a nice kind of a natural remedy. I don't know when you've got it in the deeper structures of the wood. I don't know if that's going to necessarily do the trick. I would use that more as a surface for, you know, sure. Either tile or, you know, more superficial things that you're going to be working with. But yeah.
And of course, I know nothing about it either, except that, well, it's not, I'm not in construction or anything, but I know from experience and from other friends who have dealt with this, I mean, really, they had to rip the floor out. It's unfortunate that there's not any kind of solution that is easy. But if those cats have been living there for years or a long time and they've been peeing for a long time, it's deep in the wood. And
yes.
And it is too bad, because it makes other renters think, or other landlords think twice about renting to people with cats, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
Wish so, we could be more helpful.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, Robert, I've had some folks where they actually, you know, they tear out the subflooring and they have to get the pad treated. So that's where I think you need to get someone in construction to really make those evaluations for you, so you can do the best long-term change that you need there.
Very good. I will look into those items.
Thank you for your call.
Alan Cable with a very important dog tip, probably the most important one I've ever given you. Aggressive dogs are a huge problem in America. I just saw one at the dog park, a bulldog. He was out of his mind on the leash. Wanted to attack everybody. I tried to talk to the owners, but they didn't want to hear about it. Some folks get very defensive when you say they have an aggressive dog. If your dog is showing signs of aggression, rule out any medical problems or injuries first. Take them to the vet. Once a medical reason is ruled out, you got to deal with it. A lot of people think it'll just go away, or that their dog would never hurt a member of the family, or they say, hey, he doesn't act like that all the time. It's a mistake to think that just because your dog hasn't bitten anybody, you don't have a problem. Aggressive dogs are unpredictable, and they can become dangerous. If your dog is growling, snarling, or jumping up on people, trying to mount them, snapping, barking constantly, putting his teeth on you, even if he doesn't break the skin, your dog's more than likely got a problem with aggression and is fully capable of biting someone. Some of the places and times you might see your dog become aggressive, it might happen when there's other dogs around or strange people, when he's eating and somebody gets too close or walks by, when you're trying to remove a dog from your space, like on the couch or in your bed. A lot of times you see it when a dog is in the car and a stranger walks by. The dog just goes nuts. Or when he's on a leash in public. Sometimes when a small dog is being held by its owner and somebody gets close, the dog starts to growl and snap. Some dogs chase anything that moves. Some dogs show aggression when you move too quickly or suddenly, when you're putting the leash on, when he's sleeping and you disturb him. Many people are in denial when they have an aggressive dog. They see the dog as a human, another person. They rationalize, make excuses, and try to reason with the dog, and they don't want to hear about it. Well, listen up. If your dog is showing signs of aggression, you need to find a professional, an expert in animal behavior. Because this is the kind of problem that only gets worse. Again, find a professional, find an expert. Don't attempt to do it yourself. Be a responsible dog owner. Get more tips at animalradio.com.
This is Animal Radio, baby.
Up next, a call for Dr. Debbie. We have Lynn on the phone. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Where are you calling from today?
Well, I'm in Arkansas right now. I'm a truck driver.
Well, welcome to the show. I have Dr. Debbie right here to answer your questions.
What I was wanting to know is, can I feed my cat raw meat and fish as opposed to any of the canned stuff, and would I have to add vitamins and taurine to it if I did?
Well, I'd have to say that, you know, we know that kitties are obligate carnivores, so they need meat. I am not a fan of feeding raw meat and fish in a substitution for a good quality balanced commercial cat food. for a couple reasons. And you mentioned one thing, taurine, which is an important amino acid that if we do feed a raw meat, raw fish-based diet, we're going to very likely run into multiple deficiencies, including a taurine deficiency, which is so important for cats. They have a four-time greater need for this amino acid than dogs do. So it's very easy for them, if we don't meet their needs with diet, that they can have a problem leading into all sorts of heart problems and eye problems. So, no, I don't think that feeding just a supplement is going to make up for that. There's also going to be other amino acids, nutrients. There's even kitties that will have a thiamine deficiency, which is a B vitamin. And that can actually result because feeding raw fish actually can have a enzyme that breaks down the ability of the body to absorb B vitamins. So that can also cause a whole round of other types of problems. So my bottom suggestion is I really wouldn't recommend going there. If the base of the diet is a good quality cat diet, then I think you're better off to do that. And, you know, I know oodles of people that would say, oh, I fed my cat tuna here and there. You know, but you just got to be very careful. There's, you know, a higher risk of bacterial related infections, these nutritional deficiencies. And I just don't know that I would really want to gamble with that. Plus traveling, my gosh, isn't it easier just to make a commercial diet in your situation?
Well, we have ways to cook on the truck. And I was just, it seems like has kind of a problem with some of the canned cat foods, and she'll eat them, and before she can even walk away from the dish, she's already thrown it up.
Yeah, and you know, there are some kitties that cannot tolerate canned food. I see a lot of them sometimes start off where we just think it's just the canned food they can't tolerate, and then with time we go on to discover they may actually have more established intestinal disease, such as inflammatory bowel disease. So I think sometimes that's kind of the early start that we make those notices, and then later on we discover they really do have more of a digestive problem.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
We're just moments away from Michael Ritland, our hero of the week. He does some amazing things with military animals, bringing them back to civilian life. Aren't you going to share your chips?
No way. I'm greedy. What can I say? Kind of sound like a potbelly pig here, don't I?
The lunch of champions. Mm-hmm. Pepsi and chips.
Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi.
And I will tell you, the peanut butter and jelly went down at like 10:30 this morning, so... I worked out this morning, man. I'm hungry.
Do you eat anything green?
Yeah. All the time. Okay. Yeah.
Gummy bears.
No, and it's not mold on things either.
Let's head back to the phones for the Dream Team. We go to Lauriston calling from Dallas. Hi, Lauriston. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How is everybody?
Very good. Thank you. What's going on?
I'm here at home, and I've got my son here, and I've got Max, and that's my story in question today.
Okay.
All right. What's up with Max?
Well, Max is he's about 2.5 years old. He's a highly intelligent, half shepherd, half Labrador mix. He's a rescue, and he's been trained at Man's Best Friend, and he's just brilliant. He knows all of his commands. But I also am a single father, and I have my son about 65-70% of the time. And when I bring Lauriston home, everything's fine. There's no aggressions, playtime, and stuff like that. But when I leave and I come back again, Max has gotten into a habit. Let me know that he's not happy about something because he's getting in the garbage can and pulling out napkins or things like that and chewing them up and leaving it right by the door that he knows I'm coming into. And then he's also decided to start getting into our cat and having a cat hors d'oeuvre in the litter box. And this has all just recently started to happen. And I'm just kind of wondering what I can do other than picking up the garbage can and putting it up or putting him in his crate because, you know, Max is trained to take care of our home, and I don't want him to not be about his business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So does he do this behavior when your son isn't around, or is it only when he's visiting with you?
Well, you know, he's starting to do it all the time now. When we go out in the backyard and start to play, we'll come back in and there'll be another napkin or something that he's found and torn up just a little bit, just to let me know that something's not there. So, you know, we try to take him out to play with us. You know, he's with us a lot. It's just, it seems to be getting more and more frequent.
Well, you've got a mix of two really intelligent and also very driven dogs. So shepherds and labs, they need jobs. And that's kind of I think apparent right now is that, you know, I would hesitate to say that he's jealous or he's trying to punish you for spending time with your son. But he needs to do something. And, the number one thing that I would prescribe for a dog that is chewing on things, getting into things is to really make them tired physically. In some way. However, we can make that happen, whether that's a matter of taking him to doggy daycare, taking him on long walks, jogs, or even getting a doggy treadmill and training him to a doggy treadmill at home. But to have him more physically exerted will help to decrease the kind of the naughty, like, what am I going to do and get into now? And if there are activities that you can include with your son, you know, going out for walks, you know, your son's out on a bike or something like that, and then, you know, having him participate and go along will help him mentally to know that when you're leaving the house, all is good, you're coming back, there's just things that are going on. That would be a really big part of things is truly the physical exertion.
A doggy treadmill. I really never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. I have one that I use for my dogs when they, you know, weather's bad. Summers are hot in Vegas, and it's a great way to just burn off a little bit of that energy. It doesn't make them exhausted, but it just takes the energy from high amp to low amp.
Was it easy to train them to do that?
Yeah, you know, remarkably. And I think a lot of people, we offer it for my patients that come in for boarding. A lot of people are like, my dog will never do it, never do it. And you know what? If you do it slow, you pair it with positive associations, meaning food, you know, it's a breeze. And I have all my dogs that they're comfortable with the treadmill. In fact, they'll sit on top of it. My little boss will sit on top of the treadmill and say, okay, I'm ready. When are we starting?
Now, are you using human treadmills or do you have a special doggy treadmill?
I have a doggy treadmill, but you can use the human treadmills. They are sometimes a little bit kind of challenging for dogs to get used to because they have kind of that big old kind of the piece in front, you know, where you're walking. And dogs like to see where they're going. And we always kind of put treadmills in a corner looking at a wall, and that's not very appealing to a dog. So they want to look out and they want to be able to see out. But you can still train them to a human treadmill. It just makes it a little bit more.
Where would I get a dog treadmill? I've never even heard of that. That's amazing.
Yes. Well, you can get them online as far as some of the local pet stores out here also have them. As far as, I'm trying to think, of course, the Dog Pacer is the name of the treadmill that I have. And they have a mini size for small dogs and then a larger size that can be used for small and large dogs. And I think price point, you know, somewhere around $500, $400, something like that for the larger one. So it's a bit of an investment, but, you know, if you're in an area where you can't always exercise your pet outdoors, or you don't have the ability to leave the house, that's a great thing to do.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Well, Max is at 98 pounds, so I'll have to look into getting a large.
Yeah, absolutely. And then a couple of just quick other suggestions that I'll have for you. I found for my Labrador, the best kind of garbage can is really the kind with the foot pedal that opens up like a bivalve up top, and that is secure. So invest in one of those. You can get them at regular old home stores. But the foot pedal, and then it opens and it shuts right down. Stainless steel, very durable. So that's a great investment. And then also kind of the food dispensing toys. There's lots of them we've talked about on this show that you can put the food in there. It kind of gives them something to do, or the little busy cubes where you put treats or food in and they shake it around. Give them something to do. You know, it's just kind of a way to keep them occupied and stimulated.
I'll do that. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your call, Lauriston.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes. helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process, cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley. You're listening to Animal Radio. And remember, most importantly, please spay or neuter.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. We've heard about research that pet dogs can help autistic kids improve their social skills. Well, now a first-of-its-kind study says that any kind of pet can help. The study was done at the University of Missouri and suggested that when pets are present, the children tend to interact and talk to others more. The study involved 70 families with kids between 8 and 18 years old. Nearly 70% of the families had dogs, about 50% had cats, but there were also other pets, including farm animals, reptiles, rodents, rabbits, fish, a bird, and even a spider. The data revealed that the kids with any kind of pet in the home reported being more likely to engage in behaviors such as introducing themselves, asking for information, or responding to other people's questions. The results were even more dramatic in families with dogs, especially small ones. There's another recall in the news. There's a company called Jump Your Bones out of Boca Raton, Florida. They're recalling a dog treat called Rubites because of potential salmonella contamination. This is a treat that's made from dehydrated kangaroo meat. I was a little concerned about that right off the bat. But anyway, it was distributed nationwide and also is sold online. There have been no reported illnesses connected to the product, but still, if you have any, you should not give it to your pet. You should either throw it out or return it to the place you bought it for a full refund. Pets with salmonella infections are usually rather lethargic, and they have diarrhea, fever, and vomiting, and they should be taken to the vet right away. And salmonella can also be transferred from a sick animal to you. Well, most of us would do just about anything in the world for our cat or a dog, but what would you do for your goldfish? Well, a man in Britain apparently loves his little fish so much that he spent the equivalent of $460 recently to save the little 3-incher's life. The fish had two small tumors and needed surgery to survive. And a veterinarian at the Toll Barn Veterinary Center in North Walsham did the hour-long surgery. I had to find out how they did this, so this is what they did. They put a small amount of anesthetizing agent into the goldfish's water. And once that took effect, the fish was taken out of the water and put on a waterproof drape, and anesthetic water was inserted into its mouth through a tube and bubbled over its gills. Then Dr. Faye Bethel used a miniature heart rate monitor, make sure the fish was under, and removed the two lumps with a very small scalpel. Finally, she stitched closed the tiny incisions and covered them with a special glue to waterproof the scales before the fish was slowly awakened. The fish is doing fine.
So I wonder how you find out if the fish is actually under.
You ask it to count backwards.
Do you feel it?
There is a very little dachshund that's being hailed as a hero for saving his best friend, a huge St. Bernard. Jazzy is a 180-pound St. Bernard. She got out of the yard last month in New Mexico. She ended up stuck in a cold, muddy ditch for about 18 hours. Now, Tim Chavez is Jazzy's guardian and says his other dog, a very tiny dachshund named Razor, was trying to let him know something was happening. She was barking and, as he says, going absolutely nuts. In fact, Razor was frantically barking at anybody who might have been able to help. And finally, a passerby followed Razor to the ditch. It took eight police and firefighters to pull off the rescue using backboard straps and a long spine board, same thing they would use for a person. And they finally saved that big dog out of 2 feet of mud. And I would say Baleen, New Mexico sounds like a really great place to live because the city council honored Razor for his actions at their meeting last week. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Hi, this is Brandon McMillan on Animal Radio, and be sure to adopt and not shop.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
It's Animal Radio. Hi, Robert. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
How can we help you today?
Well, I have a little problem I was wanting your advice on. About 5 years ago, our next-door neighbor's cat had a litter of about five kittens. And when the kittens were, 3-4 months old, they suddenly moved, leaving the cats to fend for themselves. So in the morning, I woke up with five hungry kittens at my door, and of course, being the sucker that I am, I've been feeding them for the last 5 years. I just give them some dry and a little bit of wet cat food in the evening, and that's about the extent of my care. But certainly, I have been feeding them every night. Now the problem is we are going to be moving. So I'm just sort of wondering what to do with the cats. I've sort of hinted around at some neighbors, and nobody's really interested in taking on that responsibility. So I didn't know if I should just let them fend for themselves. Should I catch them and take them to the pound, which I'd prefer not to do? And I just wanted your advice on that.
Okay, yeah. And I'm assuming these babies aren't spayed or neutered. Nobody's taken
They were spayed and neutered before they left.
Okay. So yeah, when you say a litter, I was imagining kittens that were blossoming and growing and reproducing at mass quantities. That's not
Oh, no, no. We were quite lucky that they did take the responsibility and do that before they left, but this was a sudden move, so
yeah, and you know what? I know that there's cats that can live in feral colonies and they can have decent lives, but golly, I would say that as much as we might hate to have to introduce them into the shelter system, there is somebody who wants to take care of these kitties, and we can find them. So I'm really an advocate of getting them picked up, taking them either to the shelter or through some of the different adoption agencies maybe in your area that will help to place feral cats or for cats that are displaced, you know, because they're sounds like they're not really feral in the sense of, you know, they've been wild cats that grew up outside. They were probably pet cats that these folks left behind, I'm assuming.
Well, they left them when they were kittens, and, you know, like I said, I have been feeding them, but, you know, they catch their fair share of birds and lizards and so forth. But I guess cats generally don't do well when just sort of turned out. It would be better to take them to the to some sort of agency.
I would definitely encourage you to get, you know, some kind of humane agency involved. And I guess myself, I personally, I guess I would have a hard time leaving them behind knowing that your other neighbors aren't too interested in helping. You know, will they fend for themselves? Yeah, but it's going to be a rough road. And, you know, certainly the potential for, you know, further disease or injury outside, you know, I am definitely an advocate of trying to get them the help that they need. And it's no different, you know, just if we have, you know, someone who's displaced from their home as far as trying to get them to an organization, a resource that we can use to help
right.
them. And it'd be great if one of your neighbors did step up to the bat. But otherwise, I certainly would get involved and see what we can do for them.
It's a tough thing to do because we moved into a house here and there it came with a cat. And now I can't move. Because it's too dependent upon it.
I have the same problem,
again.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we wish you the best of luck with that, Robert. Thanks for your call at 1-866-405-8405. Hi, Laura.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Maryland.
How beautiful. Well, I've got the good doctor here. How can we help you?
Well, hi, Laura. I didn't want to over-vaccinate my 3-year-old huskies, but I didn't know what you thought about rabies and whether we should do that all the time, and because she also will sometimes get rodents or what have you to get in the yard.
Okay. Well, definitely. I can understand the concerns. Everyone's, you know, we don't want to do too much to hurt our pets. So there's a good point with vaccinations and there's a concern level. Now, at 3 years of age, if we have pets that are going outside, I guess I'm going to stick on the side of preventative medicine. And I think that vaccinations are going to be very important for your pets. All that being said, there's other things that we want to deal with as well. Now, rabies vaccination is a very big concern, and rabies is a huge problem across the country. So it is not something that I would ever recommend somebody just opt out of because they were choosing to. There might be some medical conditions where we might say, ugh, maybe this might be dangerous for the pet, but that's the rarity. For the average pet, rabies is a very big, real concern. And in fact, there are stories all across the country of even puppies, kittens that come in and we find out have rabies, that they've been exposed to a wild animal, an infected animal, and sadly, they're put to sleep. It's a human health concern, so I really don't play around with rabies. A lot of the wildlife vectors, the different animals carry this disease, so you do want to make sure you stay up with that vaccine very regularly, every year to 3 years, depending on what state you live in. And I'm really a fan of sticking to the regular vaccination protocols until a pet gets into more of their senior years. Then I focus a little bit more on senior wellness care, which may not be vaccinating. We might do a vaccine titer instead. And a titer is basically a blood test that we test for potential antibody protection against a disease like parvovirus or distemper virus. And that might give us a little bit of an ease of mind, if you will, that you know, an older pet doesn't need a vaccine because they've been protected and they've got good titers or a good level for that. But otherwise, yeah, I'd say make sure we keep those pets healthy there, Laura, with the regular vaccination protocol and then the deworming. So
thank you for your call today.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, this is Sean Hayes on Animal Radio. Remember to spay and neuter your pets.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
When I travel, I always look for the pet-friendly hotels. And this next hotel is not only pet-friendly, but they actually are doing something really cool for the animals, especially adoptable animals. And we have the Assistant General Manager, Emma Ledbetter, joining us. Hi, Emma. How are you doing?
Hi, doing well. How are you?
Very good. So tell us what you do over at Aloft Hotel. Where is that located?
We are located in Asheville, North Carolina, in the heart of downtown.
And what do you guys do over there that makes it so special?
Well, right now, currently, we have a foster program going. We are working with Charlie's Angels Animal Rescue. So we foster one dog at a time.
But you're a hotel.
At the hotel. So they stay at the dog stays at the hotel 24 hours a day.
Oh, okay.
And we have a pen in our lobby that has information about the dog and about Charlie's Angels. And they wear an Adopt Me harness.
That is so cool.
They hang out and greet the guests in the lobby.
Well, now, how did you guys come up with that idea?
Well, we were thinking that it would be nice to have, since we are pet friend, we're dog friendly, it would be nice to have a hotel dog. And we met up with a few people from Charlie's Angels and came up with the idea that we would have one dog at a time from the rescue. They hang out in the lobby and they greet all the guests and hang out with the associates of the hotel.
So the bottom line here is you're trying to adopt these animals out. Have you had any luck so far?
Absolutely. Since August, when we started the program, we are on dog 21.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
You mean you've had 21 guests come in there and see these adoptable animals and say, hey, I'm going to go home with one of these?
Absolutely. It's about 80-20. 80% guests have adopted the dogs and 20% Jeez. Locals.
Wow.
Wow, that's
so
amazing.
So they go as we've had actually two dogs now go as far as Massachusetts.
Fabulous idea. It's a great idea. But what I'm thinking is that this should expand beyond just hotels. I mean, any business that is pet friendly, bring in
an
ad.
That's what we're hoping. Paint stores.
Yeah.
And lots
Hardware
of the stores in Asheville, you walk in and people bring their dogs to work. And that's kind of where the idea started. Could we have a hotel dog? And then now we've had 21 hotel dogs.
That's amazing.
Well, I commend you guys for this wonderful idea and adopting so many animals out. And I encourage anybody who happens to be in the Asheville area to check
out. Come by and see our foster dog.
Emma, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about what you guys are doing over there.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Take care. That's a fun idea.
21
Well, it
dogs.
Actually has been done at a clothing boutique.
Really?
In Beverly Hills in California, yeah, where they periodically are bringing in adoptable dogs to kind of hang out at the boutique throughout the day and greet everybody, and they make it very clear that fall in love and you can go through the adoption process. So this concept really does work.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, I know Tom's been waiting for a while. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. Where are you today?
Oh, Central Ohio. I drive a truck cross country, and I'm just outside of Toledo.
Do you take your animal with you?
I would like to, but I've never heard of this. The dog gets car sick. Hmm. I can't believe it.
Oh, it's actually fairly common. Yeah, what kind of dog you got?
I have a 15-month-old Beagle, half Basset, half Beagle, and we picked him up. We picked him up a couple of months ago at the Humane Society. And the poor guy didn't even make it like 5 miles down the road. He started throwing up. We took him to the vet, and the vet said it was because he had worms, and we got him wormed, and he had a bit of an ear infection, took care of that. But the dog continues to get car sick. He can't make it more than about 10 miles. What would cause that?
Well, I mean, dogs can definitely have true motion sickness, just like us. If you get on the tilt-a-whirl and you're equilibrium doesn't like it, you can get sick to your stomach. And dogs definitely can have that same effect. However, more times than not, they actually can have anxiety with car travel, and it can still lead to the same effects of vomiting, nausea, trembling, shaking, all of that. So it can be a little challenging to know which situation you're in. Some of the basic things that I look at when I get a dog that has this problem is once they get into the car and they sit down, what do they do? Are they shaking? Are they trembling? Are they freaking out just being physically in the car? If so, you may have more of an anxiety-driven problem than truly a motion sickness problem. So look at that, and I would kind of say from there, we can gauge in some different things we can try. For true motion sickness, there are remedies. We can use things like Dramamine. There's a drug called Serenia that's used for motion sickness for pets that travel, and they can be helpful. But some common sense things that we would always start with first: don't feed before you travel. So you would say a couple hours before traveling, no food and preferably no water right before you get in the vehicle. And also dogs do best if they are confined and their world is a bit restricted in what they can do and see. So we don't want a dog jumping and running around the car. One, that's dangerous for you as a driver. And two, they have more anxiety because there's a lot more flying by down the roadside. And that, for a pet who has anxiety, that can make things much worse. So we'd prefer to be restrained either with a seatbelt or in a pet carrier. And those are the best ways. And face forward, just like us. You know, you don't want to go riding backwards on the train, because if you tend to get sick to the stomach, that's going to make it worse. But if we're getting down to where we're talking anxiety as a trigger for this type of problem, It really gets down to where you can try to train and make it a positive experience for car travel. So the ways to work on that are to start with the small steps. Get your pet used to getting into the vehicle and make sure that we're calm, comfortable, and not stressed out by that. If just getting into the car starts trembling, shaking, and drooling, we have to start a step back where it's less scary. Along the way, we make it fun, we give treats, we do fun things, and we make sure that we build up to little steps of getting into the vehicle, turning the key on, and maybe even backing out of the driveway. All of that in a positive experience. If we see any vomiting, drooling, or freaking out, yes, stop and you take a step back and you start with a less intense exposure. Then, with time, we're going to work up to maybe going around the block. And then coming home, making sure it was a good experience, calling it a day and say, okay, we're not going to try that 10-mile ride today. We're going to do the little short brief trips. Build up the confidence that will help to decrease the anxiety with getting into the car in the first place.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Admit it, you love your dog and he is part of the family. So when choosing your next vacation, don't forget Fido. With just a little planning, the entire family can enjoy a road trip. To find the best vacation spot for Spot, subscribe to Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog, where each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, where both you and Fido are welcome. Go online to FidoFriendly.com and find out what all the barking's about.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And welcome. In front of me, Dr. Debbie with a Pepsi One and a bag of chips in her hands.
You gotta tell everybody. You're airing my dirty laundry today, Hal.
I just want you to know that I'm just setting the scene. You know, we have a lot of new listeners this week and they need to know what the scene looks like. Of course, Joey Villani here eating a salad.
Me. Yes. Yes, killing me.
Because you're on a diet.
Trying not to crunch in front of you here.
Yes. This hour, we're going to talk to a Navy SEAL who realized that there was a need to transition military dogs to civilian life after they're done serving their term or their, what do they call that, call of duty. When they come up over back and become a civilian dog, sometimes they suffer from, well, like PTSD, the same things that humans suffer from. And so our hero, in just a few minutes, created an organization to help these dogs transition back to civilian life. Very excited about that. Hey, Teresa, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Where are you today?
We're in Omaha, Nebraska.
How's it in Omaha?
Well, we just adopted a Wheaton Terrier from the local Humane Society, and I had a question about grooming. Is there any difference between people haircutting shears and scissors that you would use to cut, like, the beard area of a Wheaton Terrier?
Absolutely not. The only difference is professional groomers usually work with long shears, and it's basically so you can cover more ground. You know, instead of working on a person's head, you're working on a much bigger area. But that's the only thing. If I was the regular, you know, pet owner, I would use a regular small pair of shears because it's probably a lot safer for you.
Okay.
What do you have? What do you have? A small pair? And what are you trying to do? Because I might be able to help you out here.
Right now, when we adopted him, he had to be shaved totally. So he has the beard and the little bit of tuft on his head. So right now, we were just going to try and trim around his beard a little bit and around his mouth.
You know what really works best? If you have a pair of thinning shears. Thinning shears on that type of coat just make it look a lot more natural, and you don't go across the grain, you go with it, and it'll look real natural and just make it a lot shorter. I hate to tell you this, though, you probably adopted, which is a wonderful thing because I like when people adopt dogs, but it's the most difficult coat, I think, of any breed to take care of because it's very cottony, it needs a lot of brushing, and usually Wheatons are very excitable, so they run around a lot, which makes them knot up a little bit easier. But and I hope you keep the fall. Please keep the hair in front of the eyes. It makes the whole breed.
We'll sure try to do that.
Okay.
Thank you for your call today. Hi, Bill.
Hello.
Where are you calling
Hi.
From?
Well, I am in Arizona right now. It looks like it's Chiricahua National Monument. I'm passing by on I-10.
Wow. Well, I got the good doctor here with me.
Well, hi. What can I help you with today?
Well, We have a little green chicken, which that's a nickname for a Quaker parrot. Are you familiar with Quakers?
I sure am.
Well, good, because this guy was really acting weird. When we first got him, we got him in a trade for a peach-faced parrot, and they told us that he could sing, he could whistle Dixie, he was very friendly. But we got him home, and he fit everybody. Oh, he was the most hateful bird. Oh, my word. And it took a long time to be able to get up and be friendly with him. As a matter of fact, the best way to pick him up was to, I hate to tell you this, but literally snap him off the cage, let him land on the floor, and he would be fine. The Scrappy wouldn't bite you or anything.
You wonder why he bit you, though. Oh, my God. You wonder why he wanted to bite you, though. He goes slap him off of his cage.
He was biting us beforehand, okay?
All right.
I mean, he was biting us before we found that out. But if he flew at us and landed on the floor, we found out we could pick him up. And that's how we found out that if we get him off the cage, he could almost be friendly.
I suggest a perch in the future to get a bird off a cage that doesn't want to leave. Use a perch or a stick to get him off there. Don't slap him off there. That's just my little Dr. Lee advice.
Unfortunately, that didn't work either. There was nothing you could do. He was about to stick. He was hateful.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So what's going on with this birdie?
So the bird was like 5 years old when we got him, okay? We had him for 3 years. His name was Pee-wee. Well, my son, who was 35, made friends with him. It took him a month to make friends with him. And so we ended up telling him, we'll just give you the bird. Well, he moved to Jackson, Mississippi with the bird. About a month ago, he called me up and said, guess what, Dad? I'm like, what? He said, Pee-wee laid an egg.
Ah, Pee-wee's a girl.
Yeah, Pee-wee laid an egg. He said, yep. I said, wow. Well, is she okay? He said, well, the egg came out. It was broken. It wasn't in one piece. I'm like, wow. I said, well, how's Pee-wee's attitude? Oh, she has become loving. She doesn't fight. She doesn't not want to be picked up. She's just as friendly as she can be now. And since then, she's laid about 3 or 4 more eggs. Every one of them has come out broken.
Okay.
What I was wondering was, could the egg have been bound up in there for all those years, and that's why she was so mean, or does it just take a Quaker that long to mature to lay an egg?
Okay.
And also, I'm kind of concerned if they all come out broken.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd say Quaker parrots, age of sexual maturity really falls somewhere between 1 to 2 years of age. So they are capable of laying eggs at that time. If we don't lay eggs at that age and it comes on much later in life, many different factors can rule into that. So we can have things like diet, nutrition, the photo period, how much daylight the bird is exposed to, social stimulation, and overall health status. So a lot of different things go into that. So that's probably all relating to why she didn't lay eggs until she was much older. The fact that those come out broken, if they're actually coming out of her broken, then we have some problems with actual egg formation. So we might have some problems going on in her reproductive tract. Some of these birds can have metritis, or basically inflammation or infection in their reproductive tract. Sometimes there can be problems where they don't have enough calcium, especially if they're laying eggs very frequently. So some of those things may warrant seeing an avian vet to kind of get to the bottom of that. I can tell you, though, that in general, if a bird is laying eggs and there's no male bird around, we know that they're infertile. And it's very similar to, a woman having a period on a monthly basis. Birds can lay infertile eggs, and it's just that cycling of that reproductive tract. So if we want to try to minimize that, a couple things we can try doing. One would be we would want to try to decrease the daylight. And I usually try to keep the daylight no more than 10 to 12 hours of daylight a day. And we can decrease that, and that might help shut down some of that reproductive activity. The other thing is, you know, your son might be just really bonding to her well, and socially that's changing her personality. She's becoming more outgoing, gregarious, and that can also, unfortunately, sometimes hasten the production of eggs. So sometimes getting overly affectionate and getting our birds worked up can actually contribute to this egg-laying behavior. So I say broken eggs coming out of bird means go to see the vet. Broken eggs in the nest as she's laying them means we got a bird that's just kind of getting destructive and trampling on her eggs. And that's more of a behavioral thing. So I get the old phone book out, find. Does anyone use the phone book anymore? Is it all the internet
that's
now?
That's so old school.
But definitely, I'd say see an avian vet about the abnormal egg delivery. And hopefully we can shut down that reproductive tract and just make her be a happy bird without these kind of egg-laying issues.
Good luck with that, Bill. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy. This is Dr. Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Maine.
All right. And what kind of critters do you have?
I have a 9-year-old yellow lab. And we have noticed, it's been about 5 years now, but he limps. And we had him x-rayed at the vet's. We did like full x-rays on all his shoulders and stuff because we were concerned that he had either arthritis or he had, you know, some joints out of whack or whatever. But they couldn't see anything. They came up unfounded. And we were just wondering, we had heard about chiropractors working on dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't know that maybe that this is a possibility that this could be his spine and not his actual legs or shoulders.
Okay, yeah. So it's just his front end that's causing him problem?
Yeah, yeah. He's we walk him like every other day, and then in the summertime he does, you know, swimming and stuff.
Oh, fabulous exercise. Good for any kind of pet with a joint problem. So I endorse that. So he's limping, and they have or they have not localized it to the shoulder. Are they just suspicious it's the shoulder? Have they looked at the elbow?
They did full x-rays of his elbows and shoulders. He did the whole upper part there.
Okay. So you've got a radioactive dog right now. No, I'm just kidding. No. So if they've done all of that and they're fairly comfortable, they're not finding anything orthopedically, the one reason I was just backing up with elbows is because Labradors and elbow dysplasia are very common. And that's something that's not always early on. It's not very apparent by x-rays. With time, it generally shows up and you see some really arthritic-looking elbows. If we can't find anything x-ray-wise in this mature doggy, then I would be considering maybe we need to look at the neck area, because definitely dogs can have a problem with intermittent limping and pain and even favoring a particular leg, and it can be driven by a pinched nerve or a disc problem in the neck. So and evaluate that. And that can be done at your general veterinary office. If they felt there's something that needed to be looked at more, then we might go to a veterinary neurologist that they can look at that kind of thing a little bit more in detail. But have you tried any remedies up to this point? Any kind of joint supplements? Any kind of medications?
No, we haven't. He's also got separation anxiety, so the only medication he's ever been on is amitriptyline.
Okay, so. Yeah, just to help kind of ease those little nerves a little bit. Well, the big things that I want to make sure that, you know, as you're kind of deciding where you're going to go with things, is I want to make sure we keep your baby in good weight, because that's a big important thing when we're dealing with aches and pains in an older pet. And if you don't already have them on a glucosamine supplement, by all means, let's get them on one. Because I firmly believe in that. I got my aerobics knee from my college days, and I believe in glucosamine, and I see great responses with pets with low-grade arthritis and pain.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline. hotline right now, we guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. 800-475-3351. That's 800-475-3351.
Hi, this is Elaine Boozler on Animal Radio. Stay in new to your pets and some of your exes.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
This is Animal Radio, my friend. Oh, by the way, you can ask your questions directly from the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's a free download. Tammy, what are you working on this hour?
Well, you know, of course, there was a lot of buzz with the Oscars. Yep. All right, always is. Yep. But did you know, I didn't until I did the story, that there is something called the Poskers.
The Poskers?
And they honor, yes, Poskers, P-A-W-S-C-A-R-S. Apparently, these have been going on about 8 years, so I don't know why we've missed it, but they honor animal achievement in film. And I will have this year's winners for you.
Oh, how exciting. I'm going to stick around for that. Let's go to your call.
We should be invited.
Yeah, we should.
I'm telling you. We are not letting this slip by next year, Posker folk.
Okay, it's all about you. Dan.
Hello, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Excellent. I feel kind of silly with the nature of the question that I have, but my situation is with one of my dog's breasts.
It's not silly at all.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. One of your dogs is what?
Has some rather strong breath.
Oh, breath. Halitosis. Okay.
Yes, that's one nice way of saying it, I guess. But I have two dogs. They're both rescue dogs, and they're both small Chihuahua mutts, I guess, or mixed dogs. But they both eat the same. They both, you know, are indoor dogs. But one's breath, I can't understand why it's so much worse than the other, even though we brush his teeth and we give him little green minty bones and everything. But I just can't seem to get rid of it.
Okay. And how old are your dogs?
My dogs, one is four and the other one is two.
Four and you said two?
Correct.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble. I have a symphony of dogs behind me here.
No problem.
And if I were to kind of look in your doggy's mouth and lift up their lip, what would I see?
No, his gums and his teeth look perfectly like, you know, normal, white and healthy gums and everything. Yeah, they both have the same look inside their mouths, basically. Both white and healthy gums.
Okay. Because for small dogs, certainly the front teeth are some of the first teeth that we do start to see dental problems. But because their mouths are so tiny, it can be a challenge to look in the back. And I'd want to make sure that in the back we don't have any, tartar accumulation. Because even if you're seeing just a little bit of yellow to brown or even greenish colors on those teeth, that is enough to create a rich environment. And that's basically a bunch of calcium products and bacteria. And that is one of the most common causes of bad breath in dogs, is even low-grade dental disease. So I'd want to make sure we're checking that thoroughly. And so make sure you get a dental exam. Check those, have your gums checked out. If they're even a little bit of red or pink, then gingivitis and periodontal disease may be present. And that's always my number one thought when I smell bad breath in a dog. Now, if you're doing a regular home dental care, it's, you know, sounds like you're kind of up on all of this stuff. So maybe we're not leaning the dental way and we need to look at some other avenues. And for some pets, bad breath is also a potential sign of problems digestively. And even though one of your pets may be doing really well with the diet you're currently on, it's always possible that bad breath can be a result of digestive unrest. So whether it's like an inflammatory bowel disease condition where the pets just don't tolerate the foods well, or it just kind of creates a different environment within the stomach, we can sometimes get some pretty foul breath from gastrointestinal problems. So potentially a change in diet might be useful, and even adding in something like a probiotic, which is the good bacteria that helps to restore the stomach's balance. And that might be something to look at. But I would definitely...
Do you have any recommendations as for one where I would obtain this probiotic?
product?
Yeah. Some pet stores do carry probiotics. Most veterinary offices do carry those. And I most typically, for dogs and cats, I use one that's made by the Purina company. And that is my favorite one. It's in a powder form. You add it to their food. You didn't mention what kind of food you fed, but like I said, and even just a switch in a variety of brand, is it a dry or a canned variety you're
using?
We
give them only organic food, but we kind of mix the dry with some in it. I'm not sure how correct that is, but that's the way they seem to like it a lot, to mix the dry with the wet a little bit. But it's organic, so it's, I don't know, maybe if it just, I've changed a couple different brands, and I haven't really seen any difference. I'm just confused. I guess it makes sense, though. Not every dog's going to react the same way, but I was just kind of thrown off by the fact that one would have, very not good breath, and the other one wouldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely happens within, families that have dogs from the same litter. It definitely is, there's an individual variation you can run into. And I definitely keep up your efforts on the home dental care. Brushing teeth is a great way to help keep that plaque and bacteria down. There's also some sprays and rinses, and I like some of them that you can apply either by toothbrush method, or you can actually squeeze them on the gums. And that, too, might help with helping keep that breath fresh and clean.
Oh, great.
And I do know one of our suppliers of OxyFresh, there's also a product you can add into the water that helps to restore and helps keep that breath fresh. So that's something else that, you can try. There are a lot of different things that are arsenal you can give a whirl there.
I'll definitely try both the probiotic and the OxyFresh and cross my fingers. Maybe I'll be able to to get it taken care of.
Yeah, and keep up, like I said, keep up those efforts with dental care. That'll go a long way, not only to keep their breath fresh, but to keep their mouth healthy and the rest of their body healthy. This is Dr. Debbie with Animal Radio. Give me a call or email me at docdebbie@animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hello, this is Franz from Hans and Franz. Don't be a girly man. Get your dog spayed and neutered. That's right. And just because you spay or neuter your dog, it does not make them a girly dog.
Thousands of authors across the country have written books and published them with Page Publishing. If you've written a book, they can help you through the process. Cut through the confusion of the publishing world to make it easy for you. If they decide to publish your book, your work ends, theirs begins. From copy editing and proofing to typesetting and book cover art. Plus, get your book printed, distributed, and sold on Amazon, Apple Books, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores across the country. They even help promote your book. Biography, self-help, mystery, novels, sci-fi, or even a children's book. No matter what genre, Page Publishing can bring your book to life. And don't forget to ask about audiobooks. We do all of this for you. Call today for your free writer's guide packed with tips, tricks, and templates to help you finish what you started.
800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. 800-215-6815. That's 800-215-6815.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Tammy Trujillo. Most stores are no longer selling jerky pet treats made in China. The treats were connected to thousands of dogs getting sick and more than 1,000 deaths. But the U.S. Food and Drug Administration could never determine what it was in the treats that was causing the issues. With the treats off the shelves, for the most part, the number of complaints to the FDA has gone down dramatically. But the agency says it still plans to continue the investigation. It's now going to report annually on its progress and urges anybody whose pet shows any signs of illness that might be related to jerky pet treats to report it to the FDA. While the FDA does not necessarily respond to every individual complaint submitted, the agency says each report is valuable and becomes part of the investigation. Hollywood's award season's winding down. We can't let it go, though, without a nod to the winners of the annual POSCRs, the animal version of the Oscars. Yep, I didn't know they existed either, but apparently they've been going on for about 8 years now. And the Lifetime Diva Achievement Award went to Crystal. Crystal's a capuchin monkey who was that key-stealing primate in Night at the Museum and also played a drug-dealing monkey in Hangover Part 2. Best Young Animal Performer went to a trio of pit bull puppies. They won for their work in the late James Gandolfini's last film, The Drop. So do you ever think about what's going to happen to your pets after you're gone?
kind of, you don't want to think about it, but you kind of ought to. One couple in India is making sure that their monkey named Chunmun is all set. Rajesh and Shabista Zivratava have named him as their only child in their will, bequeathing him their house, their other properties, and all of their money. They've also started a fund that will raise money to rescue monkeys and build centers for their rehabilitation. They bought Chunmun in 2005 when he was just a month old, when they saw a man beating him with a stick alongside the road. In 2010, they had Chunmun marry another monkey, Biddy, and they gave the pets their very own room, complete with air conditioning. I'm Tammy Trujillo. Get more breaking animal news anytime at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Find us at animalradio.com. Log on, learn more.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating our connection with our pets. And we just got this email, came in on our app. On your show last week, a guy called in about a stop barking spray for barking dogs. I went to the store and they had so many dog bark prevention items. There were collars, there were sprays, sprays that made noise. I think it would be grand to have a discussion on dog bark prevention. Thanks so much, Pam. And I think we were talking about, were we talking about this?
I believe so.
This is the pet corrector.
Pet corrector.
That noise there.
Boy, that'll correct anybody.
Yeah. My wife uses that on me. If I'm looking at another girl, she'll pop that right, and I'm just, my attention is back, just like that.
Well, and that's what it does. It catches the dog's attention so that you can redirect it and then hopefully get them to do some other behavior other than barking at that time. Mm-hmm.
We have on the phone with us a former Navy SEAL, Mike Ritland. Mike, how are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Thank you for your service. Let me just say that. You served in Operation Iraqi Freedom as a Navy SEAL. Did you train dogs when you were there?
No, actually, I didn't. That's where my interest came from, in terms of military working dogs, was from being there. There was a group of Marines that were in an area that we were operating in that had a dog, and it saved a bunch of them. And it was kind of my light switch moment, if you will.
That's when the epiphany happened, and you wanted to do something different, yes?
Yeah, absolutely, yep. So I just kind of dove head first into it, and then years later, after I started, I got out of the military in 08, late 08, and started my own company, and I received the training contract for the West Coast SEAL Team Canine Program.
Wow.
As a trainer for them. You know, it was kind of the best of both worlds. I still got to do a lot of the soft specific type of work, but integrating dogs and, you know, guys that I had been to war with, guys that I was a SEAL instructor with, were now handlers, and I, you know, had the pleasure of working with them and training them and their dogs to go deploy. So it was pretty phenomenal experience.
Yeah. You also created the Warrior Dog Foundation, which helps dogs transition from the war zone to back at home, just like soldiers would need that transition, right?
Correct. Yeah, the Warrior Dog Foundation is essentially a vehicle to retire first and foremost special operations working dogs. So, we act as either as a sanctuary for them if we can't adopt them out, or in about half of the cases, you know, we're actually able to rehabilitate them and adopt them out to private individuals and some instances families or former handlers or just whatever the situation dictates. So yeah, it's something that's very close to our heart.
Do you see a lot of dogs with the PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder?
Yeah, we do. It's a little different, because dogs don't have the ability to reason the way people do. It's more of just a negative association with certain stimulus, whether it's an environment, a sound, a combination of the two. The good news is that, you know, if you think of it in terms of a piggy bank with negative coins in it, what we do is associate whatever that negative experience is with something overwhelmingly positive to the dog, and very slowly kind of graduate them to where it's neutral, and then now it's positive, and get them to where it no longer triggers what I refer to it as combat stress related issues that they have. So
do they need special handling, or can they go to any kind of family, or does the family have to be specially trained to handle this specific type of dog?
Yeah, I mean, for sure the people need to have experience. You know, these are not dogs for most people. I wouldn't even say they're not for everyone. I'd say they're not for most people. You do need experience, the environment has to be right. And we have, you know, an enormous database of people who have volunteered, which is very humbling and flattering. And I'll never turn a volunteer away. Having said that, you know, it's kind of a first come best fit, not so much a first come first serve. So
what have you noticed that these dogs suffer from? Because we hear that some of the troops that come back, like a third of them end up committing suicide. And I'm wondering, are the dogs affected that way too?
Well, no, you know, because, you know, from my perspective, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but, you know, on the human side, you've got the ability to reason what took place, why you were there, you know, whatever it is that happened, you know, you think about that. Dogs are simple association animals. They are very, you know, here and now, black and white, you know, live in the moment, water under the bridge type thing. But because they make those simple associations, if you do it enough time, no different than when you're training a dog to do something. You know, if they remember what sit means, obviously they think and can remember what that means, and then they perform that behavior. So on the flip side of that is that if they learn that helicopters are associated with in incredibly stressful environments, then they may start to shut down or show handler aggression or anxiety type behaviors. You know, when they hear helicopter noises.
So, I'm thinking like the 4th of July would be mayhem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It can be. You know, gunfire is a very typical, you know, noise that can trigger things like that. And so, you know, again, the good thing is as an example, we may use a very small caliber from a long way away while we're doing something overwhelmingly positive with the dog playing ball, exercising, going for a run, whatever. And then slowly but surely we desensitize them to whatever it is that triggers them. And get them to the point where, you know, months down the road, or in some instances even years, you know, you can fire, you know, a larger caliber gun right in their presence, and they completely ignore it.
Check out the website. This is really what I'm thrilled about. WarriorDogFoundation.org. WarriorDogFoundation.org. And, of course, links to everything you've heard on today's show over at AnimalRadio.com. Mike, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at AnimalRadio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. Last week, I promised to tell you what dogs need the most and that it wasn't love. The first is something we call socialization. So from the time he's a little puppy, make sure to bring him around as many people and as many different dogs as you possibly can, and put him in as many different situations as you can. Take him on walks, take him to the dog park so that he comes in contact with many different people, kids, and other dogs. This will help you raise a calm, secure, confident dog. Number two on the list, my neighbor Jason's dog sitting. He'll help illustrate. Jason, are you scared of that dog?
Do you have any proof of that rumor?
It's okay, buddy. Just tell me what he's doing.
I growled really sharply and like he jumped.
Well, that leads into the second most important thing dogs need. They need a strong, confident leader. They need structure. Because they're pack animals. And dogs instinctively know that the only way they're going to survive is in a pack. And they want to know their place in the pack. So every now and then, your dog's going to challenge you like this one's challenging Jason. And that's because the pack hierarchy never stays the same. So once in a while, your dog's going to try to redefine it, find his place in the pack again. This dog's pack is left, and because of that, the dog is testing Jason. And it's up to him to be strong, confident, and assertive, letting the dog know he's in charge. In your house, the humans have to be in charge, and the rules have to be the same for everybody. That means if your dog's not allowed on furniture, nobody in your pack can let the dog on furniture. It confuses them, makes them anxious. All the rules have to be the same, and all the humans have to be in charge.
He jumped to the kids upon my head.
He's decided he's in charge, Jason. He's the pack leader. To change this, never let your dog walk in the house first. Don't let him pull you on a leash. He should always be walking at your side, maybe a little bit behind you. Be in charge of his food and ask him to sit before you put it on the floor. And don't let him have at it until you say it's okay and give him a signal.
I'm not that way with dogs.
Well, you need to learn how to do that, buddy. It's simple.
I don't have a dog.
Well, you don't need a dog. You just have to speak dog. I'm going to go over to the neighbor's house and help Jason out. Next time, we'll talk about leash training and corrections.
Check out Animal Radio Highlights. All the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program.
They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. 800-689-0143. That's 800-689-0143.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Well, we have a year-and-a-half-old Shih Tzu, and he is loving and everything. We take him, we let him outside the house. We have a little rope that he goes outside the house, and we walk him in the evenings. And I'll take him in the mornings for a quick five-minute walk. And he does his business, like, 100 mailboxes, and then he comes inside and still does his business.
Yeah, and yikes.
especially around my table, like my, you know, he'll go around the table. What's up with that?
Is it a birch table or a maple? Does he like certain woods or trees? Oh, golly. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be making fun.
It is a maple table.
All right. Now, did you mention, Lily, if your little guy is neutered?
He's not.
Okay, well, that's where we're going to start, because that table leg does look like very much like a tree to him, and doesn't matter to him if it's inside or outside. It's all his territory, and that's basically what he's saying as he's urinating. Dogs urinate to go to the bathroom, but they also do it to communicate, and it's basically a way that he can help tell other critters, human, dog, otherwise, that's his territory. So just be known, this is my turf. So it is very challenging to correct this type of problem if we don't first address the underlying issue, and that is getting this fella neutered. Male hormones of an intact dog are going to cause this behavior. So if we get him neutered and this is still going on, then we're going to go through some behavioral training, some modifications. But some of the core of that is cleaning up the areas with a good enzyme-based cleaner that can help to destroy some of that scent at its core. And then we're going to really go back to the basics of house training and making him go potty outside, and then keeping him supervised almost as a puppy when he's indoors. But before we go there, you really got to go ahead and see about getting this guy taken care of. Call your favorite local veterinarian and get the snipping done.
It's so much more than population control. It can avert a lot of different sicknesses, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? You know, even though you're having this problem now, Lily, I have a lot of people that tell me that their dog is 5 years old and they've never had a problem, and there is really a lag time for some of these behaviors. So we know if we neuter dogs before they develop sexual mature signs, basically by 6 months of age, then we can avoid most of these behaviors completely. The problem is when we don't take advantage of that before they're sexually mature, then it gives them the opportunity for these behaviors to develop, and it's a lot harder to stop that. So for anyone out there who says, oh, my dog's not neutered and he's doing just fine, just wait. This can happen, and it can very easily happen down the road after they've been good for years and years and years.
Let's go to Kara. Hey, Kara, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Where are you calling from today?
I'm from Minnesota.
Minnesota. I love Minnesota. I just love how you guys talk. What's going on?
Okay, so I have a cat, and if I were to get another cat, well, then my cat that I have now doesn't get along with that one. Like, she'll hiss, you know, poof her tail up, meow. And I was wondering, is there, like, a way that I can, you know, get her to become friends if I wanted to get another cat, or...
So you have two cats already, and they're not getting along?
No, I only have one, and I want to get another one.
All right. So, I mean, there's definitely some big guidelines that I can give you. And I'll tell you a couple big mistakes that people do when they're adding a cat to the home. Number one is that they don't match the personalities of the cats. So okay. It's more important to match a personality to a like cat than it is of, say, the male-female thing. We don't really worry about that in cats. Dogs, we talk mm-hmm. about it. In cats, it doesn't matter if a male is with a female. What we want is the personality to be compatible. So if you have a very outgoing cat that's kind of an in-your-face, more aggressive cat in the sense that, you know, is more vocal, more mm-hmm. demanding, then you want a cat with a similar personality. What you don't yeah, okay. want to get is a really kind of laid back, passive, not a very interactive cat, because they're going to have more likeliness of problems. So that's the first thing, okay. is really look for that same kind of personality. Now, I'm not saying go out and find an aggressive dog, a cat, but really just a cat that's more bold, outgoing, and that is less apt to have fear with new situations. So that's the biggest thing. The next thing that I'll tell you is that when you do add a new cat, the biggest mistake we make is that we push the kitties too fast together. In cats, their whole behavior and socialization, they move at a different pace than dogs do. So you really got to give them their space, introduce them gradually, and you want to make sure that that's going to be done even with separation. So a cat might be in one part of the house, and then the other cat will be in the other part of the house. You switch bedding so they get used to each other's scents, and then we gradually put them together. That's the best way to let them get used to things. Now, the other thing I'm going to tell you is that if you've got an adult cat, you really should be looking for a young cat. Age does matter, because that also helps to facilitate an introduction. If you've got a young cat that's coming in kind of on the bottom of the kitty totem pole, if you will, and the adult cat will feel less threatened, and the young cat is going to be less apt to want to kind of take charge and challenge in that situation. So those are some of the really big things. And then combining that with making sure you have, when you do get these guys in the same environment, that you have lots of resources for them. So resources for cats means lots of water bowls, food bowls, extra litter sites. So you should have at least 3 sites where these cats can have options in different areas of the house to eliminate. So you want to kind of make sure that there's not a lot of competition, even in a physical sense, where they have to cross over to one part of the house to get to that food bowl. And then you'll have a happier feline household if there's less things to argue and fight about.
All right. Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Cara. Send us pictures. We want to see this brand new addition to your family, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Once again, it has just flown by. I encourage you, if you need your Animal Radio fix, head on over to animalradio.com. You can even download the Animal Radio app for your iPhone and Android. Listen at your heart's content and ask questions whenever you desire. Be sure to check out Dr. Debbie's books, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend, available over at Kindle. And, of course, we have links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. Have yourself a great week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.
This is Animal Radio Network.